to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday. Looking forward to our video today that I believe will bring great revelation and inspiration to your hearts to accomplish our purpose. And our purpose has always been number one, that God might become very real to you in your relationship with Him. Number two, that your faith would experience actual answers to prayers. And number three, that you would take your testimonies and share those with others. Now, we want to jump right into what I call the most amazing invitation to a relationship with God. And it comes from a Message Bible in Matthew and chapter 11, 27 to 30. And it says this, "Now Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father and Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly." Notice, as we've often said, that Jesus' invitation was all about you actually spending time and hanging out with Him. Now, He wasn't just saying that for Him to be on the earth in flesh. He was saying that when He sent the Holy Spirit to us, we would know the Holy Spirit with a brand new spirit completely connected to God, where the Holy Spirit was one with our spirit. We would know God through the Spirit in the same degree and even greater than Jesus was known by individuals through the flesh. So every bit of this is possible in the dispensation we're living, and more so. So let's go to some things that I believe will open up our hearts and minds for this accomplishment to take place. And I'm going to start over here in Matthew chapter 17, 14 to 20. You could really read this out of any translation. I like the Message here because there's a couple of words that I really capitalize on here. And it says, "At the bottom of the mountain," verse 14, "they were met by a crowd of waiting people. As they approached, a man came out of the crowd and fell to his knees begging, 'Master, have mercy on my son. He goes out of his mind and suffers terribly, falling into seizures. Frequently, he has pitched into the fire, other times into the river. I brought him to your disciples, but they could do nothing for him.' Jesus said, 'What a generation. No sense of God, no focus to your lives. How many times do I have to go over these things? How much longer do I have to put up with this? Bring the boy here.' He ordered the afflicting demon out, and it was out, gone. From that moment on, the boy was well. When the disciples had Jesus off to themselves, they asked, 'Why couldn't we throw it out?' Verse 20, Jesus said, 'Because you're not yet taking God seriously. The simple truth is this, that if you had a mere kernel of faith, a poppy seed, say, you would tell this mountain, move, and it would move. There is nothing you wouldn't be able to tackle.'" Wow, this is a really good passage of scripture. And if you don't mind, I'm going to read a couple of thoughts here. And that is verse 17, where Jesus then responded to the Father saying, "Your disciples couldn't do anything." And He said, "What a generation." Now, He wasn't saying this is an amazing generation. He was saying sarcastically, "What in the world's going on? What kind of generation is this? There's no sense of God." Now, I think that really is very, very telling to what we're actually endeavoring to do in Adventures in Grace. Bring a sense of God, presence, or the sense of God into your life. In other words, the awareness, recognition. You having a recognition and an awareness of God is more than half of the solution. Jesus comes to live in your heart, but if you don't know He's there, you don't even recognize that He's there, you don't recognize spiritual things, how are you going to use the benefit or benefit from Jesus being there? Everything really is about awareness and recognition. And Jesus says right here, no sense of God. Then He says, no focus to your lives, which means the no focus to your lives probably has something to do with the no sense of God. Well, in the King James, it talks about what a perverse generation, a perverse and faithless generation. And the word perverse, it actually means to distort, to turn aside, to turn aside from the right path, to pervert or to corrupt. Well, think about what he's saying. We have a corrupt generation. We have a generation that has turned aside from the path that it was set to be on, or from the path that it was ordained to be on. You can say it better that way. That the generation has turned aside. They've corrupted. They perverted themselves. They're perverse. They're not experiencing what they ought. And so if we're in the midst of this kind of generation, and he was actually even sharing that concerning the involvement of his disciples, who already had done many wonderful signs and wonders with the power that Jesus had given them. Remember, he had already given them power back in the 10th chapter, and here we are in the 17th chapter. So think about all these chapters, which is time. They've been using the power of God, and yet they get to a particular situation where they're not successful. And Jesus then talks about the generation. Now, do you see what he's trying to do here? I think this is a really good point. He's not just saying my disciples are perverse. He talks about the perverse generation, the distorted, the twisted, off the beaten path. They're no longer following righteousness, or that's a big word. They're not only following their senses and their destiny to walk with God. It literally is like it's gone. So my point is this: just because Jesus is Lord in your life and you can say that, you're still living in a perverse generation, which means it's always pulling on you and tugging on you to lose your path, to be distorted, to be perverted, to lose your focus. Well, I don't know that there's any other generation like our generation that has so many things in our lives that we can lose our focus too. I mean, you could be sitting still for 2 hours, yet flipping through Facebook or some type of social media, and literally have no focus. You see, when some people will say, well, brother, I tell you what, I'm very good at multitasking. And I will say to them, well, you're probably very distracted. And they say, no, I actually can multitask pretty well. And in the sense that you can accomplish many things at the same time, I'll give that to you, but don't you realize what you're doing? You're actually training yourself to think about 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 things at the same time, so that you've lost the ability to have only one thing that is the principal thing that you will focus on. And because that focus is so sharp, you actually can step into that one thing as though it's yours. You know, the Bible talks about having a single eye, and that single eye is about your focus. And so this is the generation that we're in. And if we don't recognize we're in this generation, first and foremost, the greatest possibility is that we're already going down the wrong path and already twisted to some degree before we even know it. Now, in the King James, and of course, I'm going to look at some of this here in a second, but the King James, or the New King James, for the solution, you know, Jesus makes the comment, you know, because he said right here in the message, I really love it. He said, you're not taking God seriously. See, if you were taking God seriously, then that would be your first and foremost thought. That's what Jesus meant when he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. In other words, the things of life that really need to be in our lives, in this physical life, will actually come to you better if you'll put God first than they do if you put those things first and put God second. We want to capitalize on the grace of God. We talk about that all the time, and this is the adventures in grace. In other words, grace is everywhere. When you begin to walk in grace, you begin to experience grace, God's influence. You walk with God's influence. You experience God's influence. You will be on an adventure, and there will be things happening in your life that are not normal to those that don't have the grace of God. We've got a faith testimony and a grace testimony we'll give you right here, and this is really good. Let me pull it up, and it says right here, get this to work. It says, okay, this grace story is so wonderful on many different levels. First, one night last week, I woke up in the night, my hip and a muscle in my upper leg were aching quite a bit. Usually, this is the end of my sleep. Instead, I slowed down my breathing to quiet myself and be aware of God or Him. Then I started praying in the spirit. The next thing I knew, it was 3 hours later, no pain and a bunch of good sleep. I'll tell you what, any of us will take that, right? That's awesome. Did grace help her? Well, yeah, if the Lord has blessed the beloved with good sleep, then let's take advantage of the ability of God to help us do just that. She goes on to say, so I shared it with a good friend. A couple of days later, her husband was experiencing really bad stomach pain later in the day. She shared my experience with him. He had been saying, Lord, make this go away. After she shared my experience, he changed it to help me to be able to sleep. He fell asleep, woke up with no pain. I just love it. And then she went on to say, thank you for the adventures in grace. They've helped me see things on a level I've not ever been able to see before. I was stuck in the law in so many areas of my life and didn't even realize it. I'm being set free, experiencing him like never before. Hallelujah. See, that's what we want right there. That kind of testimony is a testimony that shows that the individual could have very easily been swallowed up with the body, with the pains, and what wasn't working, become frustrated. But instead, losing the value of the situation right in front of him. In other words, dumbing it down, causing what was happening within your own thinking and within your heart to no longer be the principal issue so that you lose sight of what was actually going on, begin to put your focus on the Lord, begin to pray in the Spirit, and all of a sudden, boom, the adventures in grace begin, or the tangibility of God begins to work in your life. This isn't just for one, this is for everybody. So in the King James, you know, it says for the solution, it says this kind, in other words, this demon kind comes out by prayer and fasting. Well, I want to share with you just a little bit about that because Jesus wasn't saying you pray and you fast a devil out. He was giving us a prescription for life. In other words, the prescription was all about how to position ourselves so that we are walking in the Spirit and utilizing the ability and grace of God, and therefore experiencing tasks and crisis and all kinds of various situations, succumb themselves to the grace of God. In other words, be changed by God, by Jesus, by the Holy Spirit. I want you to wrap your head around this because there's not a Christian alive that if you talk like this, that they wouldn't say, well, that's actually what I'm desiring is to have a relationship with God in such a way where he's able to affect every area of my life. And I begin to experience him on a regular basis, not only experiencing him to get me out of trouble, but experiencing him to enjoy the very blessedness of relationship, enjoying him, enjoying hearing his voice, recognizing his presence, walking with him, just like any good relationship on the face of the earth. What did Jesus say? This kind comes out by prayer and fasting. Now, let's just look for a second positionally, okay? My right, that would be your right as you're looking at me. And my right is here, my left is here. All right, so if I'm going to look at my right hand, then I'm going to forsake my left hand. I'll say it to you in another way. Like a friend of mine said one time, how can you get to know the world that you don't know unless you turn your back first on the world that you do know? Let's say that again. In order to find the world that you don't know, you have to turn your back on the one that you do know. We have learned so well the world of the flesh, the world of the law religiously, and the world of sin, sickness, disease. It's just something that people expect. We've seen that in the last year and a half, especially with the virus and all the different people being afraid of what might come, what might happen. And someone gets a little sniffle and next thing you know, you think you're going to die. What is this? It's being very, very aware of your flesh. It's being all too consumed with the world. And if you're consumed with the left hand, you might not even know there's a right hand. So what is Jesus saying? This kind comes out by prayer and fasting. Well, you don't pray and fast the devil out. What he's saying is, if you'll begin to, on a regular basis, turn your back to the world and turn your face toward me. Now, when he mentions fasting, fasting is usually turning aside something of the world that seems to demand of your flesh attention. And for most of us, because we actually do need fuel in these bodies that comes from food and a trust that it's good food, For most of us, we look at fasting as putting the or turning the plate aside or not eating for a day or 2 days or maybe 3 days, and some might go more. I like what Brother Hagin said. He said, fasting and praying, I never did have to go more than 3 days before I got my answer. And that simply means what? He put himself in a position to turn his back toward all the food where his body had to literally quiet down. And it doesn't want to quiet down. Within that first day, it's demanding. I'm on a schedule. It's 12 o'clock. Don't you know we're hungry? And don't you know that afternoon snack it's time for right now? And almost, you can almost say when you're fasting, your body will be a perfect time clock, letting you know it's time right now to eat. Well, as you begin to keep that body under, it'll start to become quieter, where your spirit man becomes more real, more loud. Well, this is what Jesus was saying was the prescription for being able to see results. Now, we're going to come back. We've already taken our time. We're going to come back right away this next video and explain some of this a little bit more. And I think you'll be really blessed to see some things in light of the Bible explaining itself and how that we can find some great interpretation here, because this is all about Adventures in Grace. Now, make sure on Adventures in Grace YouTube channel that you subscribe. We'd love to just see the subscribers going up. I don't mind saying I'm not asking for a dime from anybody. I don't know that I've actually received very much at all monetarily for Adventures in Grace, because I'm not asking for that. Have you ever seen me make a poll for finances? No, I'm just doing these. I know if people will watch, they'll begin to have tangible relationship with God. They'll begin to get prayers answered and have testimonies to share. So, but I want to see people and more people get into these videos. I know that this material is helping people, and I know it can help anybody, and it's not difficult. It's very simple. So go to Adventures in Grace YouTube channel and subscribe, or go to Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page and follow us and stay in tune with all the things that are happening. Last week, we had some wonderful Healing by Design healing meetings for our healing center. Some wonderful healings took place. Amen. Where people were touched and healed, some of them instantly, others began to see some wonderful changes to what the world might call some serious diseases. We just thank God that they're healed completely well. But stay in touch. And by all means, did you enjoy the testimony tonight? Well, you can be a part of those testimonies. Go to jimhockaday.com and find our email, which is jhmi@jimhockaday.com, and share with us your grace story. We'll see you again next time.